Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. It's a little bit warm today.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it got up to 80 something.
I like it. Yeah.
Real nice. It's been a little chilly, but it's a beautiful day.
It sure is.
All right. We'd like to give a quick shout out to Athens, New York. Mm-hmm. Some new listeners there. We're thankful to have them. All right. Athens, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Athens.
Athens, yes. All right. You can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645. Or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org.
Where did people hang out during the medieval times?
I don't know.
At nightclubs. Do you like that?
Okay.
These are good dad jokes. You know.
Okay. Yep.
Here's another.
Okay.
Why did the employee go to work in stilts?
I have no idea.
He wanted a raise.
Oh, all right. Well, that he. Okay. All right. Today, when we are recording this, it is April the 29th, 2024. And on this day in 1429, Joan of Arc entered the city of Orleans. She would end its months-long siege and would become known as the Maid of Orleans.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I didn't either. 1980. Uh-oh. Film director Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, my.
Died at age 80.
The Birds.
Yes.
Have you ever watched? We've watched The Birds.
We watched it. Yeah. Yeah. And remember the next day? My sister had a bird in her house. Or was it that night?
That's symbolic.
It was symbolic. Yeah. Absolutely. And then in 2011, Kate Middleton marries Prince William in a lavish royal wedding at Westminster Abbey in London. I watched it. Me and Grace and I watched
Sweet.
It. Yeah. All right. So what you got today?
We're talking about the disciple Andrew.
Andrew. Okay.
Andrew.
Yeah. Not a lot of people talk about Andrew.
Well, Andrew, his name means valor or man or it means manly.
Yeah.
So he probably was a pretty good sized guy.
Okay.
He was a fisherman. He was Peter's brother. He was the first disciple.
Ah.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Go ahead and read John 1, 35 through 42, if you would.
All right. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus.
So John was actually, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist.
Okay.
And so John the Baptist is saying, you know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Right.
You know, I come to be a testimony, but one greater than me, in whose shoes, sandals, I'm not worthy to even untie or undo.
Right.
And so Andrew was one of those guys standing there,
That's pretty cool.
He becomes the first disciple of Jesus. And so he goes, and you will find out as we study Andrew, he is a person that really, he's like a friendly giant.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
He probably was a big, good-sized man, manly, kind of likes to be behind the scenes. And he really was always bringing people to Jesus.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Andrew was also Simon Peter's brother.
Yes.
They were fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, contrary to most people's understandings, the disciples, I would even say the disciples in general, but specifically in context is Andrew and his brother Peter, because they're brothers, were not really poor.
Right.
Or uneducated.
Right.
I mean, Peter probably had two homes, definitely one in Capernaum.
Right.
He had a business where he had fishermen underneath him.
Correct.
He was also known, according to John chapter 12, he was known within the priest, within the high priest court. And so he had some connections there in the higher social circles. And so a lot of times we act like the disciples had nothing to really lose.
Why do we do that?
I think it's a Roman Catholic distortion of
Right.
You know, that these guys had nothing. They were poor. Mm-hmm. And so they had nothing to lose. Jesus only.
The least of the least, really.
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, I don't know if it's Roman Catholic-ish or if it's just a tradition or maybe even something demonic or satanic, because it makes it like if you have things, you can't follow Jesus.
Or you can't be a Christian unless you're poor.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe and that so. Could be. Because yeah, the Roman Catholic Church tends to and uh-huh. tended to
right.
focus on not having any earthly, anything of monetary value from the earth.
Okay. Interesting.
So I don't know exactly where it comes from. It's kind of speculation.
Okay.
But really, they did have some money. They probably weren't like extremely rich.
Right.
But they had their own business and he had some money. And he didn't like to pay his taxes when he found they ran into Matthew. He didn't really care for Matthew.
Right, right. I remember that. Yeah.
So
they were more middle class, I guess.
Probably upper middle.
Upper middle. Okay.
And they were they were fairly educated. They right. weren't. It says they were ignorant, unlearned well, in Acts.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they were uneducated. That means right. they did not know much about the Torah.
Right. They had not gone through that kind yeah. of education, which that was just set apart for a few, right?
That was for the elite.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Matthew 4:18-22, if you could okay. read that.
I will read that.
And as you're going there, you know, it's really cool that Andrew was the first one, and we're going to see that he takes kind of a back seat.
Okay.
Yeah.
As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Through what verse? 22? Mm-hmm. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
So this is... I mean, this call to discipleship for Andrew, for these guys,
right,
is huge.
Absolutely.
Because this meant that they left their security.
Right.
They left their things.
Yes.
Most of it.
Right.
They left their family. A lot of their family they probably never saw again.
Yeah.
And they walked away. Can you imagine what his father said?
Oh, Peter yeah, they and just Anderson? Got up and just... didn't even say they said goodbye, gave him a hug, just jumped up and followed him. I can imagine that would be a little daunting for the father.
And that's why they would say later, what's going to happen with us? We left everything.
True.
You know, if they didn't have anything and yeah. they were poor, like a lot of people stereotype them, then right. it would be easy to walk away.
Absolutely.
But for them, it wasn't.
Right. That's pretty cool.
So this means that Jesus did something. I mean, this in itself is a testimony to the power of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that the truth of the gospel.
Well, and it also shows that Jesus will take care of your needs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they forsook both their livelihood, their family, their father, and they didn't even look back.
Love it.
So the role, Andrew's role here with mm-hmm. the apostles, he's often mentioned as being present with other disciples
right.
during key events, yeah. specifically John 6:8-11. And go ahead and read that if you would.
Okay. John 6.
Specifically, as you're looking there, this is the feeding of the 5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish.
So in other gospel, I think it's Matthew, but I'm not positive. So if I'm wrong, don't it's cast okay. Call me a heretic.
It's okay. It's okay.
But it talks about Philip being critical here.
Yeah.
But unlike Philip, and we'll get to Philip another day, he has some good qualities.
Right.
But he's kind of the accountant. He's crunching numbers.
Yeah.
Andrew brings this little boy and his lunch, his little bag lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows, you know, what do you think about that? What does that show about Andrew's faith?
he's like, well, this is what we got, and I'm sure you can do something with it. It's probably what he's seeing, because he's seen Jesus do wonderful things already at this point. So it shows his faith, I think.
Yeah. And there's another place Andrew preaches the gospel. He brings Greeks to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's pretty, he is always, most always bringing people to Jesus.
Love it.
He didn't have to be the center of attention.
Right.
And he had faith that Jesus was going, he had faith like a child.
Yeah.
I think Andrew had faith like a child.
I think so too.
I don't think Peter was impulsive. Andrew was more in the back. He was a listener.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you got to watch those listeners, because they are often the ones that really have something to say, that do the great things. You have to really pay attention to that.
But he could have really had his pride hurt. Because it was, you hear over and over again, Peter and his brother Andrew. And his brother Andrew.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people that have siblings, I don't know if you had this because there was such a large age gap between you and your sisters, but, oh, are you Becky Daniel's sister? You know, I got that a lot. Did you get that much growing up?
A little bit. My sisters were a lot older than me.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like an only child in some ways, because I had a sister 20 years older than me. I had another sister 16 years older than me.
Well, I love my sister, but it was really annoying because, you know, then they're judging you based on your sister or your sibling.
That's true.
And so I'm sure they did that with Andrew as well, where they probably expected him to be just like Peter, but he was more the ponderer, the thinker, as you said, the listener. So he was still important, but he wasn't out front as much as Peter was.
That's true.
But we have to have those people in the background too.
Well, and Jesus had favorites.
Yeah.
I know that's hard to hear, right? Well, he loves some more than others.
Yeah.
And in heaven, it's going to be that way. I'm just glad he loves me a little bit, you know.
Right.
He loves me, loves me a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
He had the three.
Right.
Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
Those were his center.
Yeah.
And he had a different purpose for Andrew.
Well, and he saw those leadership qualities with them. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, those background people are important. We can't all be out front.
I think it says a lot that he brings that little boy and he takes lunch. And
he's the one that brings the food. So, okay, here's some food. Let's do it.
I think some other personality traits of Andrew. I mean, I picture a big guy here.
Yeah.
I mean, bigger than Peter.
A gentle giant.
A gentle giant.
Yeah.
Humble and faithful.
Right.
I think he's not known for seeking the spotlight, but rather his quiet, steadfast devotion and faithfulness to Jesus.
Yeah. Important. It's so important. Absolutely. Yeah.
And his willingness.
Yes.
To introduce others to Jesus.
And his faith.
It took
faith to bring that little guy up with just those five loaves and two fish. I mean, it took a lot of faith to do that.
Well, Philip may have seen him. We don't know for sure, but kind of a sink of it. He would probably have rolled his eyes at it.
Like, what is he doing?
You know?
Yeah.
Because we have 20,000 people out here. I said 20,000 because they didn't count women and children.
Yeah.
To feed these people.
Right. Here he is with this little basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
You know, and he had a heart because, you know, he could have just hogged the gospel.
He could have.
And said, you know, Peter, this is the first time I'm going to be better than you.
Right, right.
Of course, we, with the gospel, we shouldn't think of it that way.
No.
But he could have.
He could have.
Yeah. I think some accomplishments and legacy of Andrew, his most significant contributions was his role as a conduit for others to encounter Christ. Mm-hmm. The Gospel of John, Andrew, is credited for that little boy, like we talked about.
Right.
Also, tradition says that Andrew would preach the gospel after Jesus' ascension, traveling to Greece, Asia Minor. He took it all the way to Georgia, not Georgia in America, not Atlanta, folks.
Not Atlanta, Georgia.
But Georgia, close in Russia.
Okay.
Scythians, mm-hmm. which that is the older name for the Russians.
Really?
He took the gospel to the Russians.
Isn't that cool?
In some, you know, in parts of Scotland and even Greece and other places.
Wow, that's neat.
And it's supposed to be that the crucifixion, he was martyred for his faith on the coast of Greece. And just like his brother, and his sister-in-law, mm-hmm. he did not want to be crucified like Christ.
Right.
And so he was crucified with the cross like an X.
Okay. Okay.
And it's known as St. Andrew's Cross even today.
Interesting.
Because he didn't want to be crucified like his brother.
Right, right.
Or like Jesus.
Absolutely.
So he didn't feel like he was worthy of that.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Some things we can learn from Andrew.
Okay.
Faithfulness in the background.
That's important. It is important.
Some people have to have the forefront, the center.
Right.
And there is a place for that.
There is. Yeah.
You know, but I think there's an even greater place for those in the background.
They're the supporting characters, if you will. You know, the people out in front have got to have that support. And that's what Andrew did. So important.
They say where there's a great man, there's a greater wife.
True.
Because she's in the background. And yep. You're pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well,
you don't always see
right
what people in the background do.
No. You don't. And that's okay.
And I really think in heaven, there's going to be more rewards for people in the background.
Probably so.
Because they're not getting any applause.
Right. Yeah.
But some of the prominent ones that were in the forefront were Peter, James, and John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his faithfulness was in the background.
Right.
He didn't even get mad.
No.
I mean, maybe he did. We didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
But he didn't seek recognition or fame or or want to have his horn tooted.
Right. There's a lot of pressure being out front.
There is.
Yeah. So maybe he didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing we can learn. So first one is faithfulness being in the background.
Yes.
Secondly, we can learn is bringing others to Jesus.
Important. So important. Yeah.
Just Andrew's immediate response to encountering Christ
mm-hmm.
was to go tell his brother.
Yeah.
Some of us sin with omission.
Right.
And we don't share mm-hmm. with others that don't know or never heard.
That's true.
Yeah. Thirdly,
mm-hmm.
using what we have for God's purpose.
Important.
And not focusing on what we don't have.
That's important.
You know, he faced challenges, feeding the multitude.
Mm-hmm.
Philip was focusing on what they didn't have. Andrew, well, we got this kid over here, this young boy and his lunch.
He was having that faith.
Yeah.
He brought what little there was and knew that Jesus would make it happen.
And you don't hear Andrew complaining much or murmuring much.
You don't. You really don't. I haven't thought about that. But yeah, he's just bringing people and bringing things and right there.
Humility and servitude.
Important.
We can learn from Andrew.
Absolutely.
His humility and being a servant and not necessarily needing recognition. I think that's huge.
I think so too.
Genuinely having love and compassion for other people to know Jesus.
Yep.
Perseverance in spreading the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been on every mission trip.
He would have been
right there. He may not have been the center, but he was faithful.
Right.
And he persevered.
Absolutely.
Even to the point of death.
Yeah.
Martyrdom.
True, true.
Yeah. So what do you think about, you know, this Andrew, as I was studying Andrew, I was like, man, he is underrated.
He really is.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we talked about him today because, you know, if you're a person that's in the background, don't knock it. It's okay. You're still doing great and wonderful things for God.
Amen.
And this can definitely help you remember that.
God can take your mess, even if you're in the background, turn to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.